CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Ecuador. This is a country I have no knowledge of other than what I read. And Joseph is going to help me understand because recently in The Economist magazine, the columnist calling him or herself Bello, these are anonymous columns, wonderful tradition from the 19th century in Great Britain, a conversation with Guillermo Lasso, the president of Ecuador, a country that has apparently for so far prospered and turned around, and Guillermo Lasso was enjoying the approval of the population because he vowed when elected recently to vaccinate half the population. He did. Great approval rating. And then, Joseph, Ecuador. This looks to be a country that is quite out of step with the rest of the surge towards authoritarianism and what you'd have to say is the pretense of populism throughout the region. How has it avoided that trouble? What is special about Ecuador and the capital of Quito that I know there are problems, but they are not the problems we see in Caracas?
Yes, John, Ecuador is somewhat of a success story, although that story is not complete yet. However, we have to remember that years ago, Ecuador was a full-fledged member of the Bolivarian Alliance of Countries. That's the same alliance led by Cuba and Venezuela that includes authoritarian states like Nicaragua and Bolivia. And when Rafael Correa was the president of Ecuador, they were a full-fledged member, and they were very involved in doing the same kind of activities as Venezuela and those other countries in terms of meddling their politics with organized crime. In fact, it's one of the reasons that former President Rafael Correa was indicted and convicted of corruption inside the country after he left the office. So the transition away from that alliance and away from that situation to what's a more positive situation, it took a bit of a shift. And I think the former president, Lenin Moreno of Ecuador, was responsible for making that shift. But the current president, Guillermo Lasso, is now responsible for capitalizing on that. Now, he just was elected this year. He's been in office. I think he just finished his first 100 days. And he's done a decent job. He's complied on some of his campaign promises, such as the vaccinations. I think they're over 50% now. The country's vaccinated. And he's looking at liberalizing his economy, particularly in terms of foreign investment in international trade. But October's been a rough month for President Lasso. It started with kind of a gang riots that erupted inside the country. And then that started to hit his popularity. One of the major legislative initiatives that Guillermo Lasso wanted has proposed was to essentially loosen restrictions on labor. That got blocked by the National Assembly in Ecuador. And also more recently, his name popped up in those now infamous Pandora Papers. And so he is, just so people know, President Lasso, before being a politician, he was a banker. He was the head of one of the largest banks in Ecuador, Banco Guayaquil. And so it's not a surprise that he's involved in many international financial transactions. However, he claims, or he says, that he had left that activity, and specifically the companies that are mentioned in back in 2017, and that he is one of Ecuador's top taxpayers. I think he said he contributes more than $2 million in income tax a year. So they're now starting to attack Guillermo Lasso in the press and in other places. They dropped his approval rating. He was at 70% at one time and is dropping now to under 60%. But he's still going very strong. And as you mentioned, John, he's kind of an outlier in the sense that he's moving Ecuador away from the socialist authoritarian grip that other countries have fallen into.
My memory is that there was an upset because subsidies were dropped. Is that what Correa put in, subsidies for fuel and other entities? And that Lasso does not think that's market driven, so he's moving against them. But the resentment there's so many riots, Joseph, I forget.
No, you're right. You're right, John. That was in 2019, and that was actually, Ecuador was the first country to experience this kind of new wave of mass national protests combined with high levels of foreign disinformation. And in that case, in 2019, you're right, John, it was the former president, Lenin Moreno, hiking the price of gas because they had to remove subsidies that they weren't helping their economy. And that turned into a major protest that actually required that President Lasso and his team move out of the capital city of Quito and all shut down the government almost for a period of time. And so Guillermo Lasso has to be careful of that because there's a modus operandi now in Latin America. We've seen it in Chile. We've seen it in Colombia. We've seen it in Bolivia. We've seen it in other countries. So he has to be aware that that can at any moment erupt in his country for any reason, for any excuse really that these agitators have to be able to create chaos inside the country. So he has to be aware of that. His intelligence services, security services need to be on top of it. And I think the main angle here, John, is Ecuador is one of the few countries in Latin America and one of the few in South America that's trying to move away from these authoritarian alliances. The United States has to do a way better job at supporting them. Ecuador is a small country. It's about 14, 15 million in population. It will not be able to pull away from these major geopolitical forces like China, Russia, and Iran, and their regional partners such as Venezuela and Cuba. They won't be able to pull away from that on their own. They need major alliances outside of just economics and trade. They need geopolitical alliances. The United States needs to step in and help Guillermo Lasso, or else we could find a period of Guillermo Lasso falling under the same kind of attack that President Duque did in Colombia or President Piñera in Chile.
This criticism of Lasso being a well-to-do man who invested overseas, the Pandora Papers, is he a target of bad actors in the regions? What you'd have to say, confederation of people like Caracas, of course, but also bad actors. I mentioned the leftover feeling of the Chavistas. Do they see Ecuador as something they want back, having lost the most recent election?
Absolutely, John. They very much want to take back Ecuador. And in fact, Rafael Correa, the former president that was indicted and convicted of corruption, he's still active. He lives in Europe. He lives in Belgium, and he's still active moving throughout the region and looking to shore up the alliances so that they can attack President Lasso. Now, he can't go back to Ecuador, but he can move to Venezuela. He can move to Nicaragua, to Bolivia, and other places. And I think Guillermo Lasso is kind of one of the last standing countries, presidents, governments that's not bending to the political will of these authoritarian nations. And that makes him a very big target. So as I mentioned before, he needs to align himself and the United States needs to support him to make sure that he isn't overrun, in these authoritarian sweeps to basically take countries over through chaos and conflict.
Well, let us say that this is something to watch, Joseph, because over these weeks, our conversation has turned to the fact that Latin America felt like the question should be, who lost Latin America? Was it the Trump administration? Was it a collection of Bush and Obama and Trump not keeping their eye on Latin America? You mentioned that China charged in after the crisis of 2008, 2009. Is that when Latin America leaned so far that it's no longer a trustworthy democratic a fertile ground, but is in fact prey to the populism? Can we date it that far back?
Well, we can date it further back, John. I think Latin America is perhaps the U.S.'s most failed foreign policy in the sense that it put no priority on the region since the end of the Cold War. And since that time, Russia, China, and Iran have been building their capabilities to the point that now they have legitimate influence in many countries. Because if we go back 20 years in 1999, China was a top trade partner of zero countries in South America. But if we fast forward to today or since 2019, China is now the top trade partner of 9 out of the 12 sovereign nations in South America. That should give us a pause for a moment of concern. That means the United States is only the top trade partner of 3 countries in South America, and now China's going after Central America and Mexico. So we have to be very careful about this, and it's not just trade, because when China comes in with their other alliances, Iran, Russia, Venezuela, Cuba, the increase of things such as migration, drug trafficking, human trafficking, and even terrorism start to increase and appear on our border.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society based in the Washington era. This is the New World Report. We're going to turn to troubles in the New World, in Haiti, and what is to be done when we come back. Also, looking forward to new attention to Latin American politics, Latin American history, and Latin American development in the 21st century. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.